My dear brothers and sisters, we come together to this Lenten mission preparation for Easter, and it's so important that we really prepare ourselves during this time, a time of transformation, time of preparation for the great mysteries of our salvation. And in order to better prepared and enter deeper into this mystery, it's for us beneficial to think about the cross in our life. No, it's in this time of Lent, we often meditate the stations of the cross. So the stations of the cross, each station has a certain message for us and a certain lesson. And it's for us, we come to this Lent with our personal crosses. Every one of us has a cross to bear. For some it might be sickness, some hardships that you're undergoing, some difficulty financially, emotionally, or maybe in the family, in some problems, some difficulty with children, with parents, with different issues in our life. Everyone has his own cross to carry. And so we want to ask ourselves, how do I handle this cross now? And I would like to show you in this talk that actually if we handle it well, if we accept the cross and work with it and find out the message that is contained in this particular cross that we face, then with the help of the Eucharist, in which we unite with Jesus himself in his mystery of the cross, we receive inspiration from our guardian angel, then we will grow in love. We will conquer something in our life. We'll overcome something. We'll win over something, surrender more completely to God. And that, from that on, there's joy. So that's the connection between when I gave this topic for this Lenten mission, the cross is a key to joy. So it's unlocks joy in our life when we handle our crosses well. And in fact, when we look around, so many people today, they run away from the cross, they hate it, they want to escape from it, they get angry at it, and many people, because they don't know how to handle well the cross, they carry a certain anger, bitterness in their life. So that's so sad, because we could become joyful people, not only in spite of the cross, but even through the cross. So I would like to give you some indications on how in spiritual life we can see this path through the cross to joy. So when we look at first at the apostles, because spiritual writers mention often the apostles in these three stages that we have in spiritual life, and give the example how the apostles passed through different moments of hardships and became this instrument of God, and ready to give themselves to the church, ready to let Christ use them as instruments of love. Yes, so it depends on us. And the founders of the Opus Angelorum, to which I belong, her name was Mother Gabriela Witterlich. She was a laywoman, married, three children, lost three children through miscarriages, adopted three more. And she was a great mystic of the 20th century, maybe one of the greatest mystics. She carried even the wounds of Jesus on her body, the stigmata. And she underwent so many hardships in her life, in her marriage, in her family, with her kids, with her personal sicknesses that she had. Many times she was at the edge of dying. But the Lord, she later realized that the Lord used all of this for her to grow in love and complete surrender to him, and she became a completely joyful person. She irradiated joy to others. Yes? And this path is also possible for us. The difficulties in our life can become a transformation for us, a challenge to grow in love, and they can even allow us to participate in the redemptive work of Jesus by offering these hardships to him as a gift, and he can save souls with that. So it can become really a beautiful way, and it's challenging to undergo certain moments of hardships. I don't have to tell you, certainly all of you have experienced certain moments in life that were really tough, but they don't have to break us. They can lift us up, actually. They can lead us to the victory of love in our lives. Now, countless Christians have died with a smile on their face because they surrendered completely to God in their life. They were happy, purified, ready to go. Like even Saint Carlo Acutis, this young saint who was just canonized last year, died 15 years old. Now, when he found out that he has leukemia and there's no hope anymore, with a smile he said, "I'm destined to die." And how can a young person say that? That is amazing. So he underwent already this purification in his life, and he surrendered everything to God, and he was ready to be healed or to go with the Lord, whatever he wanted. So this we also want to achieve in our lives, this love for the Lord that conquers everything, conquers also in difficult moments, and is able to find peace and joy in the Lord. But there are also many examples, of course, of Christians who despaired in the cross, who suffered of burnouts, marriages that broke, priests who left the ministry because they were not able to deal with a certain cross. There were also young people who fell into addictions because they were not able to deal with the cross in their lives. They wanted to run away from reality. So the cross is or a stumbling block where you fall over and you don't know anymore what to do, or it's your ladder to heaven. It brings you to heaven. Yes? So but the choice is yours. It's not the Lord who chooses that. It's your choice how you handle the cross in your life. And this path of the cross actually leads us to spiritual maturity. There are the three stages of spiritual life. You certainly heard them: purification, illumination, and union with God. Three steps. We call them also three ages because we can compare them with natural life. The purification is the childhood. The next step, illumination, is the adolescence. And the third step is union with God, is adulthood in the faith. And this does not depend on your age. You can be a teenager like Carlo Acutis and already have reached adulthood in your faith. You can be 75 years old and you might still be a child in spiritual life, not having developed yet to the union with God. So here it's interesting that while we have to make an effort to pass from one step to the other, to grow in our faith, and we do that by our prayer life, by receiving the sacraments, by contemplation of the Word of God, by adoration, by practice of charity, in different ways, we set up a spiritual schedule for us, we attend weekday masses, so all of this helps us to grow. But interestingly, the spiritual writers say that the transition between one step to the other happens through the cross, through a certain crisis in life that somehow throws you completely out of your path and is not something that you set up for yourself, but it somehow happens through circumstances. And through these crosses, we can say, when you handle them well, you grow to the next step. And when you don't handle them well, when you run away from the cross, when you cut it, or when you reject it and grow bitter, then you will not grow. And unfortunately, many people today, they remain on the first step of spiritual life because, why? Because they were not able to process or to handle a certain cross in their lives that God permitted, but they don't understand why, so they run away, they reject it, they grow bitter, there's some anger in them, and they don't grow. Maybe it happened to all of us that we for years go to confession and say, I'm angry, I was angry again, I was angry again. I lost my patience. But it's maybe because in the past there was some incident that caused us great pain, and we harbor still anger against a person or a certain moment or even against God. And when this happens, then this anger is deep-rooted inside, and whenever someone touches me, touches my wounded soul, then I explode. I want to give it back because it was never handled well in the past. The Lord permitted a certain moment in my life. It was there to grow, for me to grow, but I lost the chance. Now, when we look at the apostles, it's very beneficial because we can see ourselves in their journey. The apostles were initially called by Jesus. He called them to follow him. Some of them underwent a conversion, like Saint Matthew, who was a tax collector. He converted. He changed his life. And others, like St. John, St. Peter, St. Andrew, they were living the faith, but Jesus called them closer to himself now. Now what's the next step? So that's the first, actually, the purification step, where the apostles enter the school of Jesus. They were converted, they were called, now they follow him, they live closely with him. They observed the commandments. No, they stopped fishing. They left their old way of life behind. But there's still something in them that is not yet completely holy. They quarrel. Who wants to be the first? I want to be the best. They ask for rewards. Lord, can we sit beside you in your kingdom? To get the first place, they envy, there's jealousy, and they judge others. You remember St. John, he wanted to call down fire on those people who didn't want to receive Jesus, St. John and St. James, the two. Yes, this kind of judgmental attitude, we are better, we are now with Jesus, so we know it better than others. Jesus teaches them to pray. They ask him, yes, we want to grow. We want to do something for him. We love him so much. But there's also still fear. You remember St. Peter walking on the waves, on the sea, on the lake, and suddenly he feared and he sunk. Jesus had to rescue him. Or they were in the storm, frightened. What do we do? Jesus, help us. Why do you fear? So there was many things in their lives was not completely surrendered to God, and they felt somehow, yes, they were imperfect, you know, in many things. Worldly expectations, they wanted to build up with Jesus' worldly kingdom. So they didn't really understand much what Jesus really wanted from them. So there was still much healing necessary. But they preached, they drove out the devil. Jesus gave them this power, they healed people. So what changed them finally? What brought them to that victory in their lives? So they had to undergo the first big trial in their lives, the biggest. It was the passion of Jesus. His passion, his crucifixion, his death. So in that moment, we call it the dark night of the senses. The cross entered into their lives. And what happened? All their dreams were shattered. Their weakness is exposed. They had promised to Jesus, Jesus, we'll follow wherever you go. We'll die for you. We'll fight for you. And then comes the moment and everything is forgotten. They betray him. They deny him. They run away. Everything is dispersed. So that was a deep moment of purification, and St. Peter was then the first to return again to the Lord, and St. John, who also ran away but was then at the foot of the cross. But St. Peter, he denied Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and he repented. He repented. Now, that was a deep conversion experience for all of them. They realized how weak they were, and how weak their faith, how weak their love and fidelity to Jesus. That was a big moment. They questioned certainly in their mind, why is it like this? What's going on? We heard it in the disciples of Emmaus after Easter. They were completely in tears. All their hopes were lost. So in this kind of situation of despair, Jesus gathers them together after his resurrection, and now slowly, after he won the victory of the cross, now he gathers them, brings them back to their vocation, makes them understand that it had to be like this, how he explained it to the disciples of Emmaus. It had to be like this. So they went, some mystics say that, they went again to the places of the Passion, and Jesus explained to them what it meant, but why he suffered this. And slowly they understood that this was part of God's big plan. It was not that Pilate or the high priest messed up everything now, but it was the cross was part of God's plan. They had to undergo this darkness, this realization that they're weak. They need God's grace in their lives. And that's what we call the second conversion in spiritual life. Second conversion, it's not the conversion from sin to a life of sanctifying grace, but it's that conversion of realization that I need conversion every day. I am weak, I need God's grace, I have to trust in him, I cannot rely just on myself. I cannot do it on my own. So this realization we call a second conversion. Some saints underwent that too. Actually, it's part really of growth in spiritual life to undergo such a second conversion, like Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine, after he had converted to the faith and was baptized, he gathered his friends, all those who were baptized with him, and he wanted to build a Christian community. The first writing he wrote after that, The Happy Life. He thought now, since he decided for Christ, all past is over. Now it's full power for Christ. The old man died, and now the new man lives. But he was wrong, and he had to realize this very painfully. In the chapters 10, or books 10, 11, 12, he writes about this realization that the past was still hunting him somehow. Memories came back from his past. Sometimes he was not in control of himself. He was attached to food. He admitted in one part that he suffered of gluttony. He had to control himself every day on what he is going to eat. He also still experienced that temptation to power. He said when he was a bishop already that he had to be careful not to enjoy the power he had as a bishop, to be admired, to be someone, to be in the center. And this realization that the past had wounded him, and that he still needed every day the mercy of God, that was an even greater realization than when he came to the faith. This desire, this need of the mercy of God, he cried out once in this dark night that he experienced, "Lord, is it not that you can heal me from all my weaknesses? Is it not that you could just heal me from that?" But the Lord did not do that right away. It was a longer process. And this patience with oneself, this holding on, going to confession again and again, until things are moving forward, this patience we need. That's part of this illuminative state. And for the apostles, this began with the resurrection of Christ up to the ascension, these 40 days. That was a time of illumination. They experienced in that time that Jesus helped them to put the broken pieces together, to make sense of all that had happened. And these 40 days, the Acts of the Apostles, he gives them instructions through the Holy Spirit, explained to them the kingdom of God. So he explained to them his desire for the church. He explained to them what his plan for the church. But now, at the end of this time, he went up to heaven. He left them alone. And they didn't know that it will be 9 days. Jesus did not tell them, make a novena of 9 days, then the Holy Spirit will come. No, he told them to wait and to pray, and to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come. And that is considered in spiritual life the second night, the night of the Spirit, in which the Lord purifies the soul even deeper, because somehow you feel abandoned by God, somehow you feel He's not around. Now you're put on your own feet, you have to do it on your own, but how? I'm weak, I cannot do it, how will I do that? That's a great task, what do I do? And here in this moment, the Holy Spirit comes now, the promised gift. He is coming and he is now being this advocate who assists the church, sanctifies the church, and brings everything that Christ has given them to fulfillment. So Pentecost is a great moment of enlightenment where they are strengthened, and from that moment on, they are ready to face the cross. They go out, there's courage. St. Paul, who joined them later as apostle, he says, I live, but it's not anymore I, it's Christ who lives in me. He also had to undergo this purification. When he persecuted the church, the Lord put him into this darkness for some days. He also underwent this purification, and then afterwards, it's Christ who lives in you. It's not anymore you who does it, but it's Christ. He is all in all, and the apostles, nothing could stop them anymore. They were even happy to face the cross in their lives. You remember when they were put into prison, to jail, and afterwards they were freed, but they were still flogged, punished, and afterwards they went out and said they were happy because they were able to suffer for Christ. What a transformation. Before they run away, and now they are happy, there's happiness, there's now this being completely, knowledge of being completely in God's providence, and he will take care. And to this point we also want to come, because we also want to be instruments of God. And for that reason it's so essential to handle our crosses well, because God permits them for a certain purpose. And how is our reaction? Many times we say, Lord, why does this happen to me? Lord, please take away. I cannot handle this anymore. And that's not wrong to cry out like that. That's not wrong. But we have to trust in these moments in God's presence in our life, even when we don't feel it. And that's part of the test, a certain aridity in prayer, a certain dryness in prayer. But here it's important to hold on and to hold on to the Eucharist. Because Jesus gave them, before he faced the Passion, he gave them the Eucharist. Now this is the bread of life that we need for the journey to pass through different trials. Now, the acceptance of the cross, if it's so essential, how do we do that then? How do we undergo the different moments? How do we handle them in our life? And here, the spiritual writers, like Garrigou Lagrange, he's a Dominican, famous for his work on the three stages of spirit, of three stages of three ages, he calls them, in spiritual life. He says that it's important that we analyze our weaknesses in order to recognize if it's my own weakness that is causing a certain cross, or if it's permitted by the Lord for a certain purpose. Like many times we fabricate our own crosses. Mother Gabriela says that the heaviest crosses are those that we fabricate ourselves, that we're not sent by God. No, I cannot always blame the Lord for my crosses. Like, for example, when I smoke and I get lung cancer, then I say, Lord, why do you send me lung cancer? That's consequence of my own weaknesses, no? Of my own faults. Or when I get late out of my bed and I'm late for work and the boss shouts at me and gets angry and I'm tense the whole day, that's not a cross permitted by the Lord. That's my own weakness. I fabricate that myself. Yes? But even those crosses that we fabricate ourselves, the Lord guides everything to the best of those who love him. For example, when someone has an accident because he was driving under influence, under alcohol, whatever, and drugs, it's his own fault. But when he is then facing the consequences, maybe going to jail or maybe himself being injured of a certain accident, then the Lord can draw something good out of that too. But that cross was not sent by the Lord. No, that's caused by our own weaknesses, by our own faults, mistakes. So here, the Lord still can use that cross for my good, for my benefit. And it can become even a growth for me in spiritual life. How many people have converted in jail, have converted because of a certain sickness or accident, injury. So many people came back to the faith because that was a lesson for them. And the Lord was there, and even in that, self-afflicted, somehow, self-caused injury, it was their own guilt, it was the Lord can still draw something good out of this with his grace. So the cross has a purification, a purifying value. If one does not take advantage from purification through the daily cross, one has to undergo purgatory. When we don't make it in this world, under the purifications of the cross that we face, then we have to undergo purgatory. And there we'll be shaped to that perfection of charity. Now, I would like to mention here the example of Mother Gabriela Bitterlich. We have a biography out there, if you are interested in her life, because I think that is a person who is not so far away, a saintly person who just died not so long ago. And she was, I think many of us can relate to her spiritual path. So Mother Gabriela, she was born 1896, died 1978, and the Lord used her as an instrument to found a great movement in the church that offers to us the help of the angels and offers a spiritual path to us after this Lenten season, a Lenten mission, I'm going to offer you the possibility to make a consecration to the guardian angel. So she became an instrument in God's hands, but she was permitted already in her childhood. Now she was a little girl, to face crosses in her life. So she suffered sicknesses in her life, many times had to be absent from school. With God's grace, she recovered and recovered her grades too. But in that suffering, she started already because of that suffering, because of experience of this sickness. She started already in her early age to save money that her mother gave her for drinking bitter medicine. Every time she drank that, she got a little penny or something. She saved that money not for her own to buy some candies or whatever, but she wanted to send this to Africa for a poor child so that they could be baptized. Now, so the growth through a cross towards charity, towards the greatest, like when I feel pain in my life, I can easier relate to others who are in pain and can assist them. I feel pity with them. I can easily put myself into their shoes and then then grow in charity, because I experience suffering in my own life. And that is already a benefit, that God sometimes permits certain moments in our life, even, for example, humiliations, abuse, physical abuse, other emotional, all kinds of abuse, because, not because he likes that, but because he suffers in us any kind of humiliation, of hurt, or whatever we experience in our life. He suffers it with us. But he also makes us more sensitive to the suffering of others. And how many people have already, because they have experienced pain in their lives, put themselves at the service of others who experience pain? Because they know what that means. And in this way, I can make my personal cross fruitful even in the lives of others. And it helps me to grow in charity. And I can even praise God for allowing me to share in his passion so that I could also feel his thirst for love in others. And since love is the main purpose of our life, is the goal of our life, this is all about this love. And I remember once I met a young boy after confession. I asked him, "What do you want to be in your life? What do you want to do in your life?" And I expected like an answer of being an engineer or a doctor or maybe a priest. And then he looked at me and thought and said, "Father, when I'm big, I want to love. Because there are so many people out there who don't have anyone to love them." I thought, wow, this child is already spiritual mature. He understood already what this is about in our life, what's the purpose. And maybe he understood because he underwent, maybe through different difficult moments in his life already, that love was the main purpose and how much he needed love and how much others needed love. So young Mother Gabriela bitterly experienced already in her childhood this difficulty. And then she also had some uncles, actually cousins of her father, who became priests, two of them. And actually her father was also supposed to become a priest because some rich uncle, he wanted his nephews to become become priests, and he sponsored them in their time so that they could become priests. But her father realized that it was not his vocation, so he stepped out, but the others, even they also didn't have really a vocation, they pushed through, and they became scandalous priests, very worldly spirit. One even became a Protestant. left the church. And so young little Gabriella was told by her classmates, are these priests, are they are your relatives? You have to make expiation for them. That was a big pain for her to be accused practically of the bad lifestyle of these priests being her relatives. But from that moment on, she started to pray for the priests, to sacrifice for them. And she understood another reality of the cross in our lives, namely that our personal sacrifices and prayers are crosses that we face. If we offer them up and give them to God, they can become a treasure, a spiritual treasure that God can use for the benefit of salvation of souls. Expiation, we call it, or reparation. With my crosses, I can contribute. Isn't it what St. Paul says? I fill up with my sufferings, I fill up in the body, in the church, I fill up what is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Christ makes room for us in his passion, or in other words, he permits us to share in his passion, and altogether becomes a treasure for salvation of others. So our cross is not in vain. It can have a purpose. Maybe the Lord wants you to offer a certain hardship that you're undergoing for a certain person, for their salvation, for a relative who doesn't practice the faith, for some dying person out there who is in danger of going to hell forever. And because of you, because of your love for the salvation of souls, because of your effort, you can still save that soul by offering your hardship up for that person. That's a wonderful way how the Lord permits us to share in his redemptive work. So this path of the cross was very much present in the life of Mother Gabriella. But she also underwent hardships later on in her life. She married, and her husband in that time had a liberal spirit, actually. She thought he was a practicing Catholic. She was very innocent when she married. She didn't think that others might have other ideas strange to the faith. So her husband turned out to be reading all of this kind of books like Freud or psychology or liberal stuff. And he forced her to read that too. And he told her that he doesn't want her to go to Mass anymore, practice her faith. And with all of these readings, that she didn't know how to handle this now, he shattered her childhood faith into pieces. She didn't know anymore what is the truth. But she still believed in God, but it was all dark now. And she was pregnant with their first child. She went to a church and just cried to the Blessed Sacrament. She didn't know anymore what to do. Does she have to run away from her husband? A confessor had told her, whatever your husband tells you is your gospel. And so she thought she had to believe what her husband taught her. And she didn't know anymore to hold on to God, yes, but run away from the husband, also not. She's married, faithful to him, but in this dilemma, she cried out to the Lord. She went to the Blessed Sacrament. And her guardian angel guided her to make this decision for God. And after hours of struggle, she made this decision. She surrendered to God and said, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I stick to my values. I stick to my faith. But I also cling to my husband, and I explained it to him. And after some discussions, her husband accepted and tolerated her faith, and she also tolerated him, his unbelief. That she never forced him to go to Mass, or she never told him or insisted on something. After 30 years of suffering in marriage, he converted and became a fervent Catholic. Yes, but this patience, this love of the wife, that changed him. And the fact that she didn't force him. Now, in this struggle that she had, in this cross she faced, because she surrendered to God completely, she became that strong, young Catholic woman who was ready to face the battle, stick to her values, defended her faith, and she became mature. That is what I mean by accepting a cross, undergoing a struggle. It's not easy. You have to run to the Blessed Sacrament. There can be tensions. We might not know anymore what to do. But holding on to the Lord, being guided by our guardian angel, we can overcome this. And then there's that conquering love, that love that wins. So she won the victory in a certain way by surrendering to God. Her faith was now not anymore that innocent childhood faith, but it underwent struggle and was now purified. She surrendered now completely to God and was able to defend her faith. And on the other hand, she was able to love her husband, even with his limitations and his problems. Later on, there was a time when he practiced spiritism inside the family. And she held on to him, she stayed faithful. She wasn't this immense tension, but she stayed faithful. There was another incident. She lived with her, when she had three children already, with her family in the apartment of her husband's mother. So they didn't have their own apartment because her husband gave up his work, was financially unstable. So she had to live in this little apartment together with her mother-in-law and her aunt-in-law, so two mothers-in-law. No? And they really caused her many hardships and problems in her life. So what in this tension, for example, she was pregnant again, and her aunt didn't like that she was pregnant, also her husband, and they told her to abort the baby. And she said, no, I don't do that. That's against my Catholic values. So she defended her pregnancy. And then the aunt said, I'm going to put something in your food so that the baby will die. So she had to cook her own food in this little apartment, her own food, and her had to be very cautious of what she eats. And finally, because of a wrong movement, she fell and she lost the baby. And her aunt was so happy, her husband. She had to stay a month in the hospital to recover from that loss of that child. So painful, and she thought that if she would love her mother-in-law and do good to them, and even her aunt, they would also love her. But to no avail, it was the contrary. It was the other way around. The more she did for them, the more they hated her. And in this tension, she wanted to go to her parents, but her husband forbid her to visit her parents who lived in the same house, just a few apartments, a few stories below. Didn't allow her to go there. And in this difficulty, she wanted to run away. She was in despair. She had a nervous breakdown, but she always ended up before the Blessed Sacrament. And there she gained the strength again to go back into the battle. And finally, she was able to love her mother-in-law and her aunt also against her feelings. She didn't expect anything back anymore. So you see, love was purified. Before she expected something back, she also expected a response, but then she just gave. And in this time, it was also when she went out during 3 hours to visit the poor in slums, poor areas of that city of Innsbruck. After World War I, many poor people, and she went out to care for them. So in her pain, in her own tension, she still lived charity for others. No, and that's a beautiful example of how we can grow in charity and how actually the cross is not an obstacle, but rather a moment of growth, of purification, that brings out then a greater love, And with that greater love, we experience greater joy because we have won the victory. We have undergone the battle, we have won the victory, and then there's that joy that the Lord gives us. So whenever we undergo hardships, that should be our path too. We should ask ourselves, is that caused by myself first? Do I have to fix something in myself? Or if it's not caused by myself, for example, the character faults of others around us in the family, in matrimony, at work, wherever we come together with people, their character faults challenge me, or I avoid them and go away, or I try to love them. Yes, and this is that moment of where my love grows. And when I, for example, through my love, then conquer another person and can help them, and they realize their own weaknesses and can overcome them because of my help, then there's that joy that of that love, of that union with God that I can share now to others. So it's very much about how we handle our cross, if we can grow in love or we just remain in our bitterness, in our anger, in our problems, a circle around ourselves and cannot grow. It's about how we accept the cross in certain trials that come to us unexpectedly. If we surrender to God in that moment and say, Lord, I trust in you, you will guide me. Even I don't understand this right now. I don't say, why is the Lord punishing me? I don't say, why, Lord? No, I just say, give me the strength and light so that I can understand how to handle this situation, how to resolve a problem, how to grow, how to help others, and how to, yes, touch the person who is maybe affecting me negatively, how to touch that person in some way that he realizes also his guilt. So a beautiful path. It's the path of our spiritual life. It's the path of victory, of love in our lives. And it's very much, about our choice, how we handle this cross. If we forgive, if we move forward and surrender to that greater love of the Lord. And then we become instruments in his hands, and he can use us now for the salvation of others. So if you accept the cross, hold on to the Eucharist, with the guardian angel's help and inspiration, you will grow in love and become also that joyful person, that joy that nothing anymore, no one can steal you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have traced before us the way of the cross, the way of love to the end. We thank you for also permitting different moments in our lives that helped us already to grow closer to you, that helped us to grow in love and brought us to a greater acceptance of your divine will. We ask you that you continue to guide us through the help of our guardian angel of this path of charity, so that your love may also win in our lives and we become a channel of grace for others. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit.